There we go. Glad to see you can make it out here to Hope this morning. And if you're visiting with us, or even if you have the opportunity to listen to us online, we hope that you will be able to see here this morning that this is a caring place where God transforms lives. And as we begin our time together, we have been looking at the life of David. We've been looking in 2 Samuel, and we will be specifically looking through chapters 21 through 24. Before we get started with that, though, if you need to follow along or would love to follow along, there are Bibles actually in the back corner there. And also in your FYI, which is our church bulletin, there is a green or lime green half sheet that you can follow along with as well. All right? So as I said before, we're taking time looking at the life of David. And several weeks ago, Steve shared with us that we're going to be looking at a panoramic view of David's life. And we're going to be looking at even some of the darker side of David's life, as Steve shared with us. We've also been talking about over the past couple of weeks about a God who rescues us, and a God who can and will be our refuge. As Rich prayed this morning, that we're going to be taking time talking about abiding in God. We've been hearing also about how faithful God is. And this morning we're going to take time to look at what does it look like for us when we are faithful to Him, when we abide in our Lord. So if you have a Bible, we're going to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. But what I want for you to do is just put a place mark in there. And we're going to do something for a few moments. And I'm going to need a volunteer, and I'm already seeing him right there. So, Zach, why don't you come on up? He didn't know I was going to do that to him. That's great. You don't mind doing that? Thanks, Zach. All right, good. All right, I don't know if you know of or ever watched the television show Don't Forget the Lyrics. You've never seen it. You know what? I think Fox forgot the lyrics because they canceled it, actually, for this season. But what it was, and Zach, I'm just going to let you know up front, I have no money to give you. All right? But the whole premise of the show was is that there was different genres and different decades of songs, and the lyrics would come up, and then it would be like blanks, and you would have to guess what those are. Now, actually, they're in your outlines as well if you'd like to play along. I don't have any money for you either. But, Zach, we're gonna go by different decades in just a second, Jeremy. We're going to play our version of Don't Forget the Lyrics. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to make you sing. Okay? All right. Okay. So I'll sing the song, and then I'll hum the parts that you're supposed to get, and then I'll do this, and then you tell me what the rest of the words are. Got it? Everybody got it? All right, good. So let's put the first one up. This one's pretty easy. This is from the 1960s. Oh, that's Frodo. That's the 21st century. That's all right. That's okay. We're going to get to the 60s here in a second. All right. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find. You just might find. All right. Let's see, is that correct? You get what you need. All right. Okay, Zach, you're already in the hole. All right. So we're going to go to the 70s, all right? Were you born in that era? Okay, you may get this one. We're in trouble. All right, let's put up the next one. It goes like this. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am. You're helping. No, it's not Steve Miller. Stuck in the middle with you. That's Steeler's Wheels. All right. Now, Zach, were you even alive in the 80s? Were you with us? Okay. You were in what, about middle school, high school? All right, you may be able to get to one because we're going to the 80s. All right, next one, Jeremy. Shout, shout, let it all out. Does he even listen to music? He's got a little stage fright. Did anybody know? All right. Okay, That was Tears for Fears, all right? All right, now we're going to the 90s, Zach. All right, you didn't miss the 90s. All right, if you don't get this one, I'm going to have your wife come up here. All right, it goes, it's a beautiful day, skies fall, you feel like it's a beautiful day. Next time, I'm going to ask ahead of time. Anybody know it? There we go. Don't let it get away. It's you too. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Steve, now do you see why I have you check my messages? No, I'm messing with you, man. Now, Zach, it's a good thing I'm not giving away money. Because, yeah, you would owe me. But this one is from 2005. All right, so that was only 4 years ago. All right, it was a pretty popular group at the time. That's all I'm going to say. That really helps you a lot, doesn't it? All right, here we go. Next one. Where did I go wrong? I lost a friend somewhere along in the bitterness. Do, 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 do. If I'd known how to save a life. All right, you got the fray. You got 2005, but we need the blanks filled in.
I don't know.
All right. It's okay. It's the fray. He's got that much. Anybody know?
No, it's the fray.
All right. It goes, I would have stayed up with you all night had I known how to save a life. Let's give it up for Zach. Thank you, Zach. Hey, Zach, next time I'll give you the answers. Okay. That's all right. Thank you. And you know what? It's really neat because with music and with songs, sometimes we get hooked in to a song and we're like, oh yeah, or what's been said before up here. You know, that song brings back memories. And the neatest thing about a song is that it's got to come together, correct? Someone has to sit down and come with lyrics. They have to construct, is there going to be verses? Is there going to be a chorus? Is there going to be a pre-chorus, a bridge? What's the harmony going to be? Are we even going to have a hook? I had the opportunity, and we're a little on hiatus, but several of us guys here at the church, we played for a while, for a little bit. We got to play here, and we got to play in coffee shops and stuff like that. But before we even got out there, we said, you know, we're not really big on doing cover tunes. We like to write our own stuff. And that's what we had to do. We had to come and sit down and say, what are going to be the components in our song? What are we going to do to make it catchy, you know? And as you can see, like, we didn't really take off. But that's okay, but we enjoyed doing it. But we had to write lyrics. We said, what's the theme behind each song? What are we going to do? And so as we look here at David's song, as Tim began last week, David's song was a praise to God, for God delivering him from his enemies and even from King Saul. David here, in the verses we're going to be looking at, and in this chapter, David is claiming overall faithfulness to God. David realized that God was a saving relationship, but also that God was a sustaining relationship. God had delivered David's soul from death. Not only that, he delivered him again from his enemies and from harm and danger on many occasions. David tells us that God had enabled him to remain true to the Lord and true to his word. So let's just take, if you have your Bibles there, we're going to open up now to 2 Samuel chapter 22. And as we read the Lord's word, we're going to stand together as we read that. So let's stand together as the reading of the word begins in verse 21. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me, and I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. To the faithful, this is David speaking to the Lord, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. And to the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. And with your help, I can advance against a troop. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is true and unchanging. Father, you are God who is unchanging. Lord, this morning, as we take time for these next few moments to speak of abiding in you, Father, we just come before you with our weeks and of just all the stuff that is going on. Father, my prayer is that we just lay those aside so we can hear you, not hear Jeff speaking, but you speaking through me. Father, we just ask that you give us the strength and the courage to take the things that we learned this morning and to put them into practice in our lives so that we can be pleasing to you as we become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. So we see here a song of praise to God for deliverance. And we see that David could have chose to complain about his lifelong fighting. But yet David sings to God. David could have focused on all his victories and become arrogant. But yet David pointed directly to God. David's allegiance was to him. There were no other competitors. And he walked in the ways of the Lord, living a godly life. When others had strayed away from the right path, David chose and continued to walk in the ways of the Lord. David speaks here of God and how God proved himself to David through being faithful, blameless, and pure. And because of God's faithfulness, God is reliable, and he will never fail us. He keeps his promises to his people. Because of God's blamelessness, he is permanent, sinless perfection. He is a God of integrity. And because of God's purity, there is nothing dark or deceitful in him, because he is holy. And for us, we can look back on our lives, and we can begin to thank God for when he has delivered us from life situations, from our atrocities, from our battles, and then we can celebrate, and praise be to him. As a Christian, we have a long, hard road, and our situations are not easy. But that's a part of the Christian life, that we will suffer and we will struggle. We will have those physical battles. We will have those emotional battles. We will have those spiritual battles. And we will have those here on this earth. And not until we get to glory will we not have to worry about those things anymore. But yet, not only is it that we can choose each and every day to say, I'm going to suffer for the kingdom today, whatever that looks like. We hear of two women, Eminem, who are suffering for the kingdom, imprisoned for what they believe. So for what suffering looks like for us today, I don't know what it is for each of you. But that's what it is, a life here on this earth, that we will have enemies, but God can deliver us. And when we abide in him, our lives can resemble allegiance to God the Father through a greater knowledge of him. To be immersed in his word, not only that, but letting it penetrate our hearts and our lives. To be people who continue to walk in God's ways, even when those around us have strayed. So for us, what does it look like for us to reflect God in our lives? What does it look like for us to be faithful? Are we being reliable? Are we keeping our promises to him? Are we choosing to walk in his ways? Are we blameless? Are we people of integrity? Are we people who are being the same alone as we are in public? And are we striving to live a pure life, that we are disgusted with the sin in our lives and confessing and repenting and making those changes needed to please our Heavenly Father? You see, what's going on here is that in Psalm 22, David is singing his life song to God. And for some of you, you may know that song by Casting Crowns. Have you heard this song, Life Song? Yeah, and as I began reading that, the words to that song over the past couple of weeks, the chorus really got me. There was the hook. And it says this. It says, let my life song sing to you. I want to sign your name to the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you. And that's what David was doing. He says, God, you know what? You've delivered me. You have rescued me. You have been my refuge in the good and the bad and in the ugly, in relationships, in the sin that I committed against you. You have been faithful. Yet David is saying here, I'm abiding in you. You have taken me and changed me and bent my heart to be a man after your heart. And that's my life song to you, a song of praise, because you have delivered me from it all. So this morning, when we talk about abiding in God, when we talk about a life song, I want to take the next few moments and break down the scriptures here with you this morning and talk about living a life song. I want to talk about living a life song when we abide in God. When Rich was praying, he shared a little bit about what the word to abide means. And Webster's puts it this way: to remain, continue, stay. To continue in a particular condition, attitude, relationship. To endure, sustain, or without yielding or submitting. To remain steadfast or faithful to. Could I say that about myself? That I abide in God each and every day? And I'd have to say I don't. I'd have to say that I want to become God for just a few moments when my situation is in peril, or when Tina was in the hospital getting frustrated with doctors who only come around once a day at 7:30 in the morning. Okay, I'm done venting. All right. But in those times, that's when the Lord gives me and you the opportunity to abide in Him. So I'd like to share three things with you this morning about what it looks like for us and what God has shown me when we abide in Him. So if you have your outlines and are following along, the first thing is this, is that when we abide in God, God will reward us. When we abide in God, God will reward us. David said here again in verse 25, it says, "The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in His sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. And you save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low." David believed in the Lord by faith and accepted God on that basis. David was not declaring here that he never sinned, because we know he sinned. If there was one story that you could say of where David sinned, the one would be where? Yeah, so we know that he sinned. But yet here, David was guilty of adultery, he was guilty of murder, and he was guilty of deception. But yet David's desire here was to please the Lord in his service to him. David recognized that God rewards those who faithfully seek and serve him. Because the truth is, God did not owe David a thing. He didn't owe him a thing. And yet it was by God's grace, as Tim shared with us last week, that David could have relationship with the Father. Just like you and I, through Jesus Christ, can have relationship with him here and now. And as we can see that God rewards obedient behavior. And yet the same is true, as we say here probably each and every Sunday morning, is that God rewards obedient behavior, and yet he punishes disobedient behavior. And for us, our job is not to brag about what we've been given. You see, again, David was not arrogant in this praise to God, but he was praising God for what he had done in response to his devotion to him. The Bible says in Psalm 128, 1 and 2, it says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours." And so the question may be, well, how does God reward us? It's not like we get a monthly heaven check, you know, direct from heaven, stamp and done, and you can cash it in at your local bank. It doesn't work that way. God rewards us by giving us spiritual vision to see him. Not only that, for each of us today here in this room, we have an incredible opportunity to have a deep, intimate relationship with God in a real and tangible way. And for us, when we begin to see God rewarding us for abiding in him, listen, spiritual growth is not automatic, all right? It requires making a commitment to know and become more like God. And so that may look like, for us, time alone with him each day. You know, and it's saying, Jeff, that's easy for you to say. You know, you're the guy preaching up there. Listen, I miss time with the Lord, and I know the effects of it. When I'm away from Him, sometimes I draw to things that are not of Him. And the same for us. But taking time alone with Him, but not just alone with Him, time with others as we are here this morning, Sunday morning experience, to celebrate together what God has done in and through our lives. Not only that, but even in a smaller, intimate setting, whether it's small groups or for students, it's D groups and Sunday Night Live, taking opportunities to do things together, to grow and live life deeply with one another. And so we have to remember, too, as followers of Christ, God's Spirit lives within us and gives us the desire to abide in Him. And I think about when we abide in God, God is rewarding us, as you know, as we prayed and thank God for Tina's recovery from being in the hospital. You know, thank you again on behalf of my family for cooking for us. I think I've gained about 7 pounds. But listen, that's what it's about. Right there, people saying, you know what, I'm going to be obedient by helping others. And you know, I can't tell you what your reward's going to be. I can't. But you know what? Hopefully that reward is, you know, in your spirit, well done. You did what I asked you to do. My mom called me and said, I need to be there helping Tina. I said, Mom, you need to take it easy a little. All right? You know, plane tickets cost a lot of money, Mom. And my dad has been out of work for a little bit, and he's looking for work. And I told her how much it would cost. And I said, if you'd like, I'll buy your ticket. She said, no, I don't want you buying the ticket. And long story short, she said, I need to pray about this. I said, that'd be a good thing. And she said, because, you know, Jeff, one of the things is when I retired, I made a commitment to the Lord to help others. And this is a perfect opportunity to do that. And so she called me back about 15, 20 minutes later, and she said, your uncle, I called him. He told me if there was ever a need to call him. And he paid for her to fly here. So isn't that great? That's how God rewards us too. So it may be, you know, all right, well done. But it may be that God provides that physical, that tangible need. And even when we don't have much and we give away, even when it doesn't make sense to do it, when we abide in Him, the Lord will reward us. So the question that we can ask this morning, how has God rewarded us lately? Have we seen Him reward us for being good and faithful servants? And if not, can we take the time this week and say, Lord, where is it that I'm not abiding in You? It's not that I want it all for me, good, good me. That's not it. But it's saying, God, give me spiritual vision to see You in what You're doing. And that in itself is reward enough. So when we abide in God, God will reward us. The second thing is this morning is that when we abide in God, God will guide us. God will guide us. David said in verse 29 of chapter 22, he goes on to say, You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. You see, there were times in David's life where he did not know which way to turn. And in those times, God was his guiding light. God had revealed to David the next steps in his path time and time again. And David looked only to the Lord for his direction. And so, just like this flashlight here will help us when it's dark. Thank you. Right? See? I'm not going to shine it in your face. I'm sorry. But if it was a little bit darker and I needed to get out of here and the lights were out in there, I could just do that. And that would guide my way. And that's what God did for David. Just bear with me. God will guide us when we are in the dark and we have lost our way. The opposite is true where it says here in Job 18, 5 and 6, it says, the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out and the flame of his fire stops burning. The light in his tent becomes dark and the lamp beside him goes out. In these verses here, light speaks of life. And the opposite is true of those who reject God's guidance. The light of those who reject Him, their light will be extinguished. Christine, if you could turn those lights back on, please. But for us as followers of Christ, God is our light. Not only that, God is our strength. And when we allow Him to guide us, we stay focused on Him. If you think about it, if we turn the lights out again and it was very, very dark and we're saying how we're going to get out of here, and then all of a sudden somebody just opened the back door just a little bit to have the light come in, we would know how to leave. That's what God does for us. When it doesn't make sense, when we're in pitch dark and thinking that we are lost and we have nowhere to turn, not knowing when the next paycheck's coming in, when the next person's going to call for a job, when our kids are going to straighten up, when our relationships are just about ready to fall apart. If we turn to Him and focus on Him, when we abide in Him, when we are faithful to Him, He will light our way. Because God's light is an internal flame that never goes out. And for even with my family, as most of you know about our adoption journey, we have had times, all four of us, when we were in the dark, not knowing what in the world is going to go on, what in the world have we done, what is it about this whole adoption thing, people driving us crazy, and all these voices coming in and back and forth. We felt like at times, for the four of us, we lost our way. And yet that little door opened just a little, and we walked because we knew where our focus was. It was in our guiding light, our eternal flame, who is the Lord. And yet the neat thing, not only has he guided us, we'll be finalizing soon, as you all know, but the other neat thing is that God has rewarded us for our faithfulness to Him. I'm not bragging, it's what He has done. Both Tina and I have been asked to be on an advisory board for older adoptions from our agency to help those others from this point on to help them in adopting older children. That's not anything I could have done. I wouldn't have thought of that 2 years ago. I'd be like, adopting? Okay. But here we are, a family of four now that was once a family of three, and to be able to help others as they adopt as well. The question we can ask ourselves this morning, are we in a dark time right now? Do we need some light to guide us? And are we crying out as a child would cry out to their parent? Do we cry out to God to come and be our light? And is our focus on Him? So when we abide in God, God will reward us, God will guide us, and finally, God will assist us. When we abide in God, God will assist us. The final verse here in chapter 22, in verse 30, David goes on to say, "With your help, I can advance against a troop, and with my God, I can scale a wall." Some of the commentary said that scaling a wall or even run through a barricade. And so that was really neat to hear, because through David's times of trials, God had enabled him to enjoy victory over his enemies. And David had been able to achieve the impossible time and again because God was the one who held on to him. God had allowed David to experience victory over every obstacle he faced in his life. Every obstacle. One of the ways that God had assisted David, we see here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 to 10, where David is conquering Jerusalem. It says this: "The king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, 'You will not get in here. Even the blind and lame can ward you off.' They thought, 'David cannot get in here.' Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, the city of David. On that day, David said, 'Anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those lame and blind who are David's enemies.' That is why they say the blind and lame will not enter the palace." David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the supporting terraces inward. And this is the line that really just stuck with me. "And he became more and more powerful because the Lord Almighty was with him." God was with David, and there was nothing David could not do when he abided in God. And for us, when it's a spiritual battle, Satan, the destroyer, wants to destroy us, and he can have a stronghold on our hearts, and he is waging war. And yet, when God's Spirit, as he lives in us, it's going to take care of everything that comes our way if we live a Spirit-filled life abiding in him. Because again, the truth is, whether you believe it or not, there is nothing, nothing impossible for God. He is on our side, and He will never fail. So the question that we can ask ourselves when we hear about God will assist us, when was the last time we believed that God would help us? And what walls do we need to scale? What barricades do we need His help to run through? So when we abide in God, God will reward us, God will guide us, and God will assist us. Some of you know one of my favorite trilogy movies is Lord of the Rings. And there is a scene in The Two Towers at the very end. It's the battle that is ending as Osgiliath. And the battle at Helm's Deep was simultaneously going on. And Frodo and Sam get into a little bit of altercation because the ring had begun to take over Frodo. And Frodo pulls his sword out and is ready to attack Sam. And Sam says, "It's me, you're Sam." And Frodo gets off and they're all just kind of panting and like, this is, you know, crazy what's going on here. And as you're going to hear, Frodo says, "I can't do this, Sam." And Sam says, "By all rights, we shouldn't even be here." And so I want you to listen to the rest of Sam's speech, and then we will conclude with the message. Christine, if you could get the lights.
"I can't do this, Sam. I know. It's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here. We are. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing, the shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? But there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting for.
That's good, Jeremy. Thank you." He said, "What are we holding on to?" Sam said, "You know, that there's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for." If there was a picture of someone who was faithful, it's Samwise the Brave. And it was really interesting as he shared. I don't know the things that you heard, but what I heard is that Sam said, you know, folk in those stories had many chances of turning back, but they never did. And if you heard King Theoden in the battle at Helm's Deep, he raised his sword and he said, "Victory. We have victory." So we can ask ourselves this morning, what are we holding on to? Who are we abiding in? And what will our life song sing? Are we in a place in our lives where we don't understand why we're there? Do we feel like we're in the dark and there's no way out? Today, each and every one of us can recognize and believe that we have victory. Victory has been won through Jesus Christ. Victory over death and the grave. And the thing that we can hold on to is when we abide in Him is the hope that we have that one day this darkness of this broken world will be over when He returns to take us home. If we were to look at our agendas, if we were to look at our Blackberries, if we were to look at our checkbooks, where would our abiding be? Are we turning to those things? If we, I had to ask myself this as I was speaking to my daughter this week, if I treated my Lord and Savior like I treated my cell phone, how my relationship would be with Him. Today we will realize, and I have realized this past couple weeks, that we will face obstacles in our lives. And we can choose to turn and run, or we can choose to abide in the One who will sustain us. For those of us this morning that have professed a faith in Jesus Christ, can we look at our lives and say that we are faithful and that we abide in Him? Because our faithfulness to God is demonstrated through our continued obedience. And it may be asking God, where are those areas that I'm not abiding in You? I have not had a sense of being rewarded. I don't feel like there's a light shining. And I don't feel like I have help. To those of us who are faithful to God, you will find Him and find that He is all that He has promised to be. For those this morning who may not have that relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus, do you even have a life song? And what would it sing? Because you can enjoy that same kind of relationship with Jesus as I do and many others here do as well. Christ the Lord has given His life so that we can have a life song of praise to Him, delivering us from sin and death and eternal separation from the Lord. Jesus Christ can be your sustainer, your rewarder, your light, and your strength. And that can begin today by realizing that God sent His Son to this earth to give His life for each and every one of us so that we may have eternal life. And as Rich prayed again, a life and a life that is abundant. I'll be here after the service. The elders will be here as well. Do we want to live lives that are Jesus, all for Jesus? Do we want our life songs to sing for Him? To say at the end of the day, I signed Your name on it, Lord. And let my life song sing to You. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for being a God who sustains us, who holds on to us and carries us. Lord, I pray that in the times where we feel that we failed You and we've let You down, that we would realize that we were never holding You up, that it was You who has been holding us the whole time. Thank You, Father, for being that beautiful example of faithfulness and blamelessness and purity. Our prayer here this morning is that we would choose Your ways, we would abide in You at every turn, and that we would desire Your word and to learn how to remain faithful to You with our lives. May our life songs sing to You, Father. May our lips speak out and proclaim that we are living our lives that are immersed in You. May our hearts be filled with songs of praise to the one and only Deliverer, light, and strength. Our hope is in You. In Jesus' name, amen.